Matthew chapter number 5 is where we're going to be reading from. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for this time that you've given us to be together. God, I want to thank you for this time of refuge that we have. Help us to let everything else go. We all have different situations and problems and trials, burdens, whatever it is, God, in our lives. And I pray that you'll help us to lay those down for just a little while tonight. God, just focus on your word. Let your word speak to us. And God, I pray that in all things that we'll cast those burdens on you. That's what you've instructed us to do, and that you will allow us, God, to truly trust in you and lean on you in everything that happens in our life. God, I pray for the ones that may be watching tonight on Facebook. God, I pray that you'll meet those needs. I pray for the prayer requests that may be going on that page right now, or the ones that are in our heart, God, that maybe we're not free to speak of. God, you know each and every need, and we ask you just to touch in an amazing way. Help the study tonight. God, I pray that you'll keep me and my opinions out of the way. May your word speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. We'll begin, first of all, tonight talking just a few minutes back over in Genesis chapter number 39. As you remember, last week we started in Genesis chapter number 37, and we began discussing Joseph. And we began discussing how that Joseph was the favorite of his father, and that his father made him the coat of many colors, and how that his brothers already had hatred in their hearts toward him. And then Joseph comes out one day and tells them a couple of dreams that God has given him, about how that they're going to bow down to him, and then his brothers hate him even more. And then his daddy sends Joseph to check on his brothers one day, and as he finds his brothers, they are already plotting and planning on how to destroy Joseph. They come up with a plan of how they're going to kill Joseph, and then there was one brother, Reuben, who didn't want to do that, so he talked his brothers into throwing Joseph in a pit, and then others come by and took Joseph out of the pit, and he sold into slavery. And next week, when we really get into Genesis chapter number 39, we're going to find how that Joseph lands in Egypt. And the plan went together kind of the way that they thought it would when they started talking about selling him into slavery. And Joseph ends up in Egypt as a slave. But tonight, as we get into the study, as we begin to think about it, some different topics, I had to kind of switch gears for just a few minutes. Last week, as we talked about the possible thoughts that Joseph had while he was there in the pit about, God, is this really the plan that you've got for my life? Or, God, I thought you was going to do something awesome in my life, and here I am in this pit. And we began to talk about those different thoughts that Joseph may have had while he was there in the pit. I think it's important to know that I think that even when Joseph was still in that pit, that he still knew that God had a plan for his life. The whole time he was in the pit, I believe that he knew that God had a plan for his life. But this week, I want us to kind of turn left of that, and even still talking about Joseph and his brothers, as we begin to think about that family feud that is going on between Joseph and his brothers, how his 11 brothers couldn't stand him, how they wanted to get rid of him, and then Joseph is in the pit. But in order to get to the place that I want us to get tonight, we need to go to Matthew chapter number 5. We're going to begin reading in verse number 38 here in just a minute. As I've been thinking about this scripture and some different things maybe that is happening in my life, and maybe just everywhere that you go right now, it seems that God has burdened my heart about my attitude toward others. That God has burdened my heart about my compassion and my concern for others. It seems that nowadays, let's go ahead and do some reading first. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Boy, we like that scripture, don't we? We like feeling like God has given us permission to retaliate, but let's not take that one verse and take it out of context, because that is not the complete thought that is given. We want to pull that one out and put it by itself over here on a shelf and say, hey, the Bible says eye for an eye, and we want to take that scripture and pull it out of there. But let's continue reading what Jesus says next. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. As you look at verse number 39, as 38, we want to say, hey, God's given us permission to retaliate. Then verse 39 turns right around and says, but if somebody wants to hit you on one side, you turn to them the other. Now, I can even remember being a young boy and hearing some older fellas talk about this scripture, and they say, well, what they like about verse number 39 is that God don't tell us what to do after we turn the other cheek. But I believe that God completely instructs us. Let's continue reading verse number 40. And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's the reading we're going to do tonight, and thank you for joining me with that reading. But as we look at that scripture tonight, and seems like God has been speaking to my heart and drawing my attention to my attitude toward others, about my compassion and my concern for others, about the way that I treat others. It seems like that we're living in a day and a time that our enemies have multiplied. Used to, we had a thought process of, well, if somebody hasn't specifically done something to me personally or to my family, then they're not my enemy. But now it seems as we're living in a day and a time when there are so many polar opposites, there's so many different opinions and there's so many different thoughts, there's so many different ways that people think about different subjects, that we have got to the place that we are so bombarded with that polar opposition, that we are so bombarded with the different thought processes and the different ideas, that people who, that all of a sudden it seems to me in my life, and if y'all are not guilty of this tonight, y'all just pray for me. But I have found myself in a place that I have almost become to the place that if you don't think like me, now you're my enemy. Let's just put it straight like it really happens in our lives, that if we have people who don't agree with us, if we have people who have a different opinion, who choose a different side, who look at things differently than us, then they have all of a sudden become our enemy, that they have all of a sudden become to the place that we're no longer willing to pray for them, that we're no longer willing to be there for them, but yet they have become our enemy. Let's take a few subjects that seem pretty hot in our day and time. Let's just dive right in and get ourselves in trouble. Let's just go for it tonight. Now, I want you to know that some of these things are not opinions. There are some of these things that I'm going to mention right here in just a minute, that there seems to be such a polar opposite of people's thought processes that there's not an opinion on this. Some of these are opinions. Some of these God's word directly deals with, and I want you to just go ahead and know it doesn't matter what my opinion is or what your opinion is or what the Supreme Court's opinion is. It doesn't matter. If God's word says no, then the answer is no. If God's word says yes, the answer is yes, and we can never go against God's word. But as we look at some things that, and I'm not going to give the pros and cons or the Bible that goes along with it tonight, I just want to mention a few topics really quick that I feel like there is such polar opposition or polar opposite thoughts on, that people have become our enemies through these things. First of all, I'm just going to go down a list here: pro-life and pro-choice. Now, I know what the Bible says, you know what the Bible says, and that's one of those topics when there's not an opinion in place, but it seems like that the people that doesn't agree with me, that don't agree with me or don't agree with you, that not only do we find that we feel that they're wrong, but now they have all of a sudden become our enemy. I have found myself making statements in the recent days, in the recent time period of people who don't agree with me on that, then I have something to say about it that I don't think God's pleased with. Because Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 38 through verse number 48 tells me of a way that I'm supposed to think toward others, tells me of a way that I'm supposed to be there for others, tells me of a way that I'm supposed to treat others, and my life does not align with that right now. Pro-life, pro-choice is one thing that I believe we have polar opposites on right now. Same-sex marriage, or that marriage is between one man and one woman. There's a polar opposite opinion on that. There's people who believe God's word and people who don't believe God's word on that. So let's continue going. The opinion between Trump and Biden. The opinion between guns are good, guns are bad. The opinion of I want freedom and liberty, or I want socialism and government control. The opinion between vaccine or no vaccine. The opinion between mandatory mask or no mask at all. Let's go back to the religious side for just a moment. The opinion of I want a King James Version Bible, or I don't want anything. Or the opinion of, well, any version is just okay. See, all of these things are opinions, and people feel very strongly about their opinion or their thought process on this. Again, some of these are directly dealt with in God's word, and my opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter. But these topics seem like they're so hot right now, and maybe have been for a while, but we're living in a day and a time. I think that most of us would agree that there was two thought processes, or maybe more than two thought processes, but they were similar. And you would get down to the place where you go, okay, well, we can agree to disagree. But I want you to know that nowadays it seems like the thought process and the decisions that people are making are so polar opposite that there's not even a place that you can say we're going to agree to disagree. I just disagree with you. Y'all are looking at me like I don't know what you're talking about tonight, preacher. Well, maybe the first thing I need to do is get rid of my Facebook. Maybe that's the first thing I need to do because people are really, really brave with their opinion on Facebook, ain't they? There's no consequence for putting your opinion on Facebook. There's no consequence for chewing me out on Facebook because I can't get a hold of you from there. Not that I would do that anyway. Lord, I'm holy. I don't do that. But there's no consequence for putting our thoughts on Facebook. You can put them out there and just whatever. But these topics are so strong, and actually the thought process is so polar opposite that nowadays we look at people, and even though that we disagree, and it's okay to disagree, and I'm not going to agree with people who don't go along with God's word, but not only do I disagree with them now, but it's almost as if they have become my enemies. It's almost as if I no longer can care for them. I no longer have concern for them. I no longer take thought for them. It's just them against me. Any of y'all have that problem? Or am I all alone in this? Okay, I see some of you doing this. I don't know whether, maybe it's just me. Maybe I am too strong in my thought processes. But these two polar opposites are so strong that we lose our concern and that we lose our hope or we lose our ability to reach out to these people. But I want to give you two polar opposites that matter more than anything we've talked about tonight. Well, what do you mean, preacher? There's nothing that can matter more between pro-life and pro-choice. There's nothing that can matter more than what God's word says and what people are trying to do. Preacher, there's no possible way. Let me give you two polar opposites that I believe that should be first on our mind, first on our heart, that we should take in consideration more than anything else. Saved and lost, heaven and hell. There's two polar opposites that should mean more to us than anything in the world. There's two polar opposites. And the thing of it is it's only by Jesus Christ that there's a difference in those two. It's only because of the grace and the mercy of God that there's a difference between a saved man and someone that's lost. It's only because of Jesus Christ that I can look tonight and say, I'm thankful that I'm saved, that Jesus Christ has forgiven me of my sins, that I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The only thing that makes me any different than a lost man tonight is that one day I realized that I was a sinner, and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins, and that He washed my sins away, and He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the only thing that makes me any different than the most lost person that you can even think of tonight. The only thing that makes me any different than me and a lost man tonight is I know that if I die tonight, that if I take my last breath sometime tonight, that I know that when I stand before God, even though that my works are unworthy, even though that my mind is unholy, even though that sometimes my life is not righteous, but because of Jesus Christ, because of the forgiveness of my sins, when I stand before God, He don't see me with my faults and my failures, but yet He sees His darling son and the fact that His blood has been applied to my life. And that's what I need to be thankful for. That's what I need to be focused on. Yeah, there is some polar opposites, and I don't need to let all of these other things get in the way to where I'm no longer concerned about seeing lost people saved and people who are going to hell changed and going to heaven. That's the opposite that I need to be focused on. That's the opposite that I need to be looking at in my life and in others. And again, I don't think that I'm better than anybody. I don't think that there's anything about me that's good. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. I know that it's not because of my goodness, but it is because of Jesus Christ. But so many times, I get so focused on these polar opposites. I can remember telling my wife something. We was going down the road one day. We seen a political sign in the yard. I won't tell you whose it was. You can figure it out probably. But I seen a political sign in the yard, and I looked at her and I said, you know what? I said, used to I question people's morals when I seen certain political signs in their yard. I said, and nowadays I just completely question their intelligence whatsoever when I see that in their yard. And I realized that I was letting stuff like that draw lines in my life to where I didn't care for people the way that I should, to where I didn't have compassion for people the way that I should. Oh, if somebody wants to stand up and tell me I shouldn't have guns, well, they're my enemy. That's the thought process that we get into sometimes. Well, I just want them to know, right? Yes, some of those things are important, and some of those things we have to take a stand on. I understand that, but don't let it get to where it shuts up your heart and where it taints your mind to where you can't love them, to where you can't care about the polar opposite that matters more than anything else, is whether they're saved or whether they're lost, whether they're on their way to hell or whether they're on the way to heaven. Because when it's all said and done, that's the only thing that's going to matter. It's not going to matter one bit. Any of these other things that the polar opposites are there, when it's all said and done, those are not going to matter. But when they stand before God, and let's just be blunt with it. If they'll get saved, and if they'll get on their way to heaven, a lot of their opposites will change. If they get their life right with God, a lot of those opposites will change. And I believe that as Joseph was there in his pit, let's get back to Joseph. I believe that as Joseph was there in his pit, and him in his mind going, okay, I know God's got a plan for me. I know what God showed me. And I know that God's going to use me in a great way. And maybe he didn't understand exactly how that God was going to use him. I don't want to blow the whole end of the story because we still got a long ways to go with Joseph. But God used Joseph in an amazing way to make a way. He had Joseph to prepare some things. And in the end, Joseph was able to prepare a way for the people that he was opposite, for the people that hated him, for his enemies. He was able to prepare a way to be able to provide for people who hated him. Now, listen, some of us, we'd have been sitting there in the pit, and if God had spoken to us audibly and said, listen, Josh, I want you to know that these guys that just throwed you in this pit, that hate you, that they discussed killing you just earlier today, and now they've thrown you in this pit, and they really don't care anything about you. I'm going to use you to provide for them. I'm going to use you to rescue them. I'm going to use you to save them, you know, providing the food for them. There's a lot of us that said, I'd just soon die. Because we let our opposition, we let our opinion, we let our what's important to us get more important than the main opposite. And again, tonight we're talking about lost and saved, heaven and hell. We would have looked and said, God, I know you got this plan. And God, I think it's good that you would do that. But I'd just soon die than have to do something for them. And if we're not careful, we'll get to a place that we had rather argue. We had rather be right. We had rather everybody think about how holy we are. And we had rather think about everybody to think, well, at least they were willing to take a stand on this issue and this issue and this issue, instead of letting our bowels of compassion be opened up and say, you know what? You may not think like I do on this, but I want you to know something. Jesus Christ loves you. It's tough, ain't it? That's tough. You may hate me. Hey, what a great example that Jesus himself give us. As he was hanging there on the cross, as they had beat him, they had spat on him, they had put the crown of thorns on his head, drove the nails into his hands, into his feet. And what does he do? Now, I'm going to tell you what I'd have done. I'd have blasted them all. I'd have said, Father, you seen what they done to me. Kill them all. But what did he do? The great example that he give us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man. And then when you get to this, and you look what Jesus is teaching us. I'm trying to find a verse of scripture right here. Verse number 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Now look, I don't like what's happening in our country right now. I don't like how polar opposite it is. I don't like how it feels like God, Christian people are being stepped on. I don't like that. But we can get so focused on that sometimes that we lose a desire to see lost people saved. You know who's stepping on us? Let's just talk about this a second. We talk about in government a whole lot of times, oh, this right here was going on, and now all of a sudden they've tried to switch our attention over here, and then they've tried to switch our attention. We call those smoke screens, right? Y'all have heard of that. Oh, it's amazing how when they got right in the middle of this, all of a sudden all the attention changed over here, and it seems like sometimes our government's good at doing that. They're good at changing your mind and your focus on something else, and we call those smoke screens. Well, you know what? I believe the devil is using a whole lot of smoke screens right now to keep Christian people from giving the gospel. I believe the devil is using a whole lot of things that's going on right now. And I know some of the things that we're going through are serious. I know that. I understand that. But I believe there are so many things that are being used to keep Christian people from telling lost people how good God is and that Jesus Christ can make a difference in their life here and a difference in their eternity forever and ever. I believe that there's a whole lot of that going on. And I believe that we as Christians have got comfortable. We have got to the place where we say, well, me and mine are saved. That's good. I know. I mean, as far as I know, my wife and my three children are saved. Hallelujah. And we have stopped there, and we're no longer concerned about our neighbor anymore. We're no longer concerned about, especially the people across the road that's got the other political party sign up in their yard. If we're not real careful, we'll even have the thought, well, they're going to bust hell wide open if they think like that. Well, that ought to break our heart. That ought to not be something that we swell up about and we want to boast about. Because if not for Jesus Christ and his love and his conviction on my life and my decision to accept him, I would bust hell wide open too. But I'm thankful that one day he spoke to me and I received salvation. As Joseph is there in the pit, maybe he don't know exactly what God is going to do or how God is going to use him. But I'm thankful as we get to the end of that story here in a couple weeks that we'll still see that he still had love and compassion for people who hated him. That we'll see that he still had concern for people who hated him and mistreated him, who done him wrong. The Bible gives us great instruction here of how we're supposed to treat others who do us wrong. I ain't always done that, church. I've not always been the one to turn the other cheek. I've only been in one fight in my life, and I really didn't like it. I figured out real quick that I'm not a fighter. I walked away with a black eye and a busted nose, and I'm not a fighter. Now, look, I've dwelt on that a long time, and I believe I'm ready to throw a few now. No, not really. But if we're not careful, we will handle stuff wrong just to prove, hey, that we're right or that we're whatever your thought process is. Well, preacher, sounds like you're asking us to back down on what the Bible says. Absolutely not. Do you think Jesus backed down of what his word says and what God's word says? Absolutely not. You think he's going to ask his people to back down of what the Bible says? Absolutely not. And I do completely understand that we need to have backbone and stand. But there is also a time when you say, you know what? You're different than me, but the only reason that you're different from me is because you're lost. And I'm concerned about your salvation. I'm not concerned about your opinion. I'm having trouble with that right now, church. I have issues with that. Well, preacher, I can't believe you stand up, but you're supposed to be leading us. You're supposed to be the one teaching us how to have compassion. No, let me show you right here who's the teacher of compassion. Amen. You get right in here and you read what Jesus says and you follow his instruction manual for compassion and concern and love. I'll do my best to do better. Y'all pray for me. But right here is who your instructor is and who your leader is on that. Let's continue reading for just a minute. Verse number 46. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? You know what? It's easy to come in here and tell y'all, I feel just as free to preach anything I need to preach in here. I feel just as free to come in here and say, I love y'all and give y'all the word of God. Y'all love the word. That's easy. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Well, you know what? Some of this love and compassion and concern that I have for other Christian people, I need to take it out here and show lost people. I couldn't help but think today, as God was speaking, it seemed like God started on my heart yesterday afternoon. I've been studying about Joseph for the past week and thinking about the next step in that story. And as God seemed like he was speaking to my heart over yesterday and today specifically about my opinion toward others, I got to thinking about a lot of the people that I'm around. And there's a lot of people that I'm around that might say, well, you know, Josh holds his cool, or Josh does this, or Josh does that, or everybody, it seems like everybody we're around knows that I'm a preacher, maybe that I pastor Fellowship Baptist Church. But I wonder how many of those people that I'm around could say, yeah, Josh has talked to me about my relationship with Jesus Christ. And when God spoke that question to my heart, I just had to drop my head. Now I know, especially it seems like with me, that there's people who dodge me. There's people that says, oh, there's the preacher. Let's go around over here. Or don't talk like that around the preacher. Well, I appreciate that respect. I'm not worthy of that respect, but I appreciate it. But it's not about living right or doing right or whatever in front of the preacher, because God knows what we do at all times. But my thing is this. I don't want to walk around with my Bible tucked up under my arm all the time and people going, oh no, here comes that guy that's going to condemn us. Or here comes that guy, Mr. Holy Roller. Or here comes that guy but here's what I do want to do. I want to do my best to have enough compassion and concern, empathy, sympathy, whatever you want to call it, on others, that sometime the people that I'm around, that they can say, Josh has talked to me about Jesus before. I like talking about Jesus in here, because y'all all sit here and smile, nod your head, a few amens, and we have a good time with it. But out there is where it's going to count. Out there is where it's going to make a difference. Listen, again, I'm sorry that y'all had to sit through what God spoke to me about. I hope that it has helped you. If it hasn't helped you, let me beg you this. Pray for me, that I'll have my attitude right toward others, that I'll have my concern right toward others. We go through this life in such a short time frame. This year has been one of the toughest years that we've been through. Or some of y'all have been through some really tough times, so I can't speak for you. This has been a really rough year. And still, it has passed by. It's fixing to be Christmas. 2020 is just about over. And you know what? The Bible teaches us that life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. I'm supposed to be using this life to bring him glory and point others to the cross. And right now, I think I'm getting a big thumbs down on that. Y'all pray for me, that I'll be what I'm supposed to be and that I'll have the right concern and compassion for others. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. And God, I know this was not a hallelujah message for me. This was, oh me. God, this is a message that reveals I need some adjusting in my life, God. That, yes, some of the other things we do, we put so much importance on, but God, we fail to put the importance on seeing that somebody comes to know Jesus Christ before the day that they have their appointment with death, God. And I pray that you'll just help us to be what we're supposed to be. God, help us to always to stand for the right things, but to do it in a way that still shows love, compassion, and concern for others. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen.